Today we begin the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, but before we begin the first chapter and read Prabhupada's summary, Srila Prabhupada's summary of the first chapter of the seventh canto, I wanted to just quickly review the sixth canto, because as you would think, the Bhagavatam is very connected. One chapter is connected to the next, and one canto is connected to the next as well. And the first chapter of the seventh canto is an extremely important chapter. In fact, the whole seventh canto is so important. But this first chapter is especially important because it gives birth to the rest of the seventh canto. But also, in addition to that, anyway, we'll read what Prabhupada says in his summary after Krishna winning, we'll read that. But first in the sixth canto, let's start with the fifth canto. In the fifth canto, there's it begins, who knows what's the first chapter of the fifth canto? Raise your hand. Everyone is so shy. What is the first chapter? Yes? You raise your hand. Yeah? What is the first chapter of the fifth canto? You didn't expect the class to be a class, did you? Sorry. Yes. Oh, you looked in your mobile phone. Okay. You know, one day you might not have your mobile phone with you. Problem. Yes, what's the first? Maharaj Priyavrata. So a very important point is made with Maharaj Priyavrata, and that is, he was a renunciant, but if I go too slowly, we'll never get to the end of the fifth canto, what to speak of the sixth canto, what to speak of the seventh canto. But Maharaj Priyavrata was a renunciant, complete tyagi. But he had to renounce being a renunciant, because higher than renunciation is Krishna's pleasure, the desire and the attempt to please Krishna. And that's really what the Bhagavatam is going to teach us. And this first comes out in the sixth canto, when Ajamil will be spoken of, when Bhagavad Dharma is mentioned. Bhagavad Dharma means Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada coined the term, he got the term from Krishna, bhakti rasita bhavato mati, that being able to taste the sweetness of one's actual relationship with Krishna. Krishna bhakti rasita bhavato mati. So it is first mentioned hinted at in the fifth canto. Of course, the whole Bhagavatam rejects anything other than this Bhagavad Dharma, but it does it in its gradual way. It presents Bhagavad Dharma. And then after the pastime of Priyavrata, then we begin leading towards Maharaj Rishabhdev. And Maharaj Rishabhdev, who knows the first verse of Maharaj Rishabhdev's teachings to his son, without looking at your mobile phone, or yes, Nayam Deho Deha Bhajan Viloke. And this verse essentially teaches us, don't use your human life inappropriately, but rather Brahma Sokyam Twanantam, that you can actually gain the greatest thing in your life. Don't use your human life in this way. To arhati vidbujam ye. In activities that is, arhati means deserving of an animal. Human life is such a gift. Tarapadruvamartadam. It is such a gift. Use it properly. He's instructing his sons. Because naturally, the father wants to give the sons what he considers most valuable. So he's telling him this immediately. And of course, there's so much more in the instructions. But in the fifth canto, as it goes on, next is the pastimes of Jadabharat. And Jadabharat is the foremost of the sons of Maharaj Rishabdev. So when he instructs who? Who does he instruct? But who does he instruct? Who does Jadabharat instruct? Rahugana Maharaj, yes. So he's going to give him basically the same instructions that he's heard from his father, which makes sense. He expands them, but it's essentially the same instruction. And then after that, Maharaj Prickett asks a question. He wants to hear about how the Lord pervades the universe. And then what we end up with is what everyone usually thinks when they think of the fifth canto, is a description of the universe from the middle to the top and then to the bottom. So there is. So the fifth canto, from the point of view of cosmology, is not very difficult to understand. But what is difficult to understand is how to take what's presented in the fifth canto and how does that in some way, correspond to what we are taught in school and what the scientists say. And if you try, you won't be able to do it. But aside from that, the Bhagavatam's purpose isn't specifically to present the cosmology of the universe, although a Mahapurana must do this to be considered a Mahapurana. But rather, there is a philosophical thread that's being presented from the topmost planet to the Sutala at the very bottom, the Bilvaswaga, and even there's three swagas that are described up on the heavenly planets, on the Bhumandala, and Bilvaswaga on the lower planets. And these three swagas, the persons representing them, plus all the personalities in Bhuloka, Bhumandala, they all will say the same thing. And that same thing is that human life is meant to taste the sweetness of bhakti, of devotional service. So in that sense, the remaining part of the fifth canto just carries on what Jadbharat said, which is what Maharaj Rishabdev said, that use your human life to find Krishna, awaken your relationship with Krishna. And then there is a description of the hellish planets at the very end. And then Maharaj Prickett asks the question, how can living entities be saved from hell? And that's the beginning of Canto 6. Now, Canto 6 is also such a special canto. If I ask you, how does Canto 6 begin? Probably Radhakanta will look at his phone and say, with Chapter 1. And of course, he would be correct. And with the pastime of Ajameel. Now, does anyone know the title of what the title Prabhupada has given the sixth canto? Poshana? Yes, and how is it, but how is it translated? Not protection. Prescribed duties for mankind. That's actually what Prabhupada has it there. Now, prescribed duties for mankind. So what we get in every part of the sixth canto is different levels of duties. But what's really going to be presented is the topmost duty of Bhagavad Dharma, again, devotional service to Krishna. Because this is the actual duty of mankind, to serve Krishna. Again, tarappa dhruvam artadam, to develop our loving relationship with Krishna and to serve Krishna with devotion. This is life's purpose. So of course, you all know that better than me. But the story of Ajameel is presented in the beginning of Canto 6, and Ajameel pastime we know is in glorification of the holy names of Krishna. It is so powerful the Bhagavatam is leading us to this point. In the end of the fifth canto also, this point was made by Anantadev and previous to that too, that the holy names are so powerful. So it's not a surprise when we get to the sixth canto. It's not a surprise, actually, if one reads the fifth canto, that the holy names are so powerful that Ajamil, who was such a sinner, he was saved from a horrible suffering situation by the power of the holy names, but they're so powerful that he wasn't even chanting Krishna, 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 thinking of Krishna Balaram, thinking of Radhasyama Sundar, thinking of Gonatai. He was thinking of his son, Narayana, Narayana. But those four syllables caused the Lord, the Jamadutis, to come to save him. Because as soon as we say the names of Gornatai, Krishna Balaram, and Radhasyama Sundar, they are there. See? I read that recently again in the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada says, when you chant the name of Krishna, Krishna and all his energies, internal energy, they are dancing on your, he is dancing on your tongue. Think about what that means. That's something to meditate upon. So our acharyas explained that the Ajmil pastime is kamutyanyaya, which means that if Ajmil got this result of being saved from death by calling the name of his son, whose name was Narayan, just imagine the result if one chants with surrender, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, with surrender, Krishna, Krishna, I'm yours. Tavasmi Chayachase, that's one prayer. Krishna, I am yours. Krishna never forgets that. Dadam yetad vritam mama. He never forgets. What to speak of someone who chants with love. And that's what the cantos one by one are going to lead us to. But here in the sixth canto, we're going to hear about devotional service. Almost in every case, it's not that it's not pure. With Ritchashura, we saw pure devotional service, but he's acting as a demon. And in the seventh canto, we're going to see pure devotional service with Prahlad Maharaj acting as a pure devotee. Just completely dependent on Krishna. Gotrapte varanam zata. Just dependent on Krishna. He'll tell his father, when his father challenges him, you always talk about a controller more powerful than me. Well, I don't see him. Where is he? I don't see him anywhere. But a devotee like Prahlad, which was described in the early chapters, he sees Krishna everywhere. Hiranyakashipu can't see him anywhere, but Prahlad sees him everywhere. What verse from the Brahma Samhita? Thank you. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Valochana. Shanta sadaiva hridayeshu lokayanti. So, after Ajamil comes what? Daksha, yes, and Hariyasvas. And he is a great devotee. Of course, we criticize Daksha, and we go, but he was a great devotee. His praying the Hamsa Guhya prayers, it called the Lord Paramatma, the Super Soul, to appear directly in front of him. But yet, although his prayers were so powerful, he had material desires in his heart still. So it wasn't anyabhilasita sunyam, it wasn't pure devotional service. And those, the impure desires in his heart, caused him so much trouble again. First time, he lost his head because of his anger and envy, because of his pride. So these instructions in the Bhagavatam, step by step, are so important that we have to remove. This is in Manasiksha, this is Raghunath Das Goswami's first instruction practice. We have to remove pride, because pride will lead to so many difficulties, even for someone who's so powerful that their prayers evoke the Lord to descend right in front of them. And he had the desire for unlimited procreation, to have unlimited children, which means sex life. And because of this, so much trouble came to him. So he's a devotee, another example of prescribed duties for mankind, another example of devotional service, but yet not yet pure devotional service. And after the Hansakuya prayers comes this long, the pastime of Vritrasura that extends into Tritiketu. And in Vritrasura, it begins not with Vritrasura, but whom? The pastime begins with, the cause of Vritrasura's coming is Indra. Indra, a great devata, great devotee, but he became proud. Because he was a great devotee and a great devata and had so much opulence, he became proud and offended his Guru Maharaj. He's going to offend three persons in this pastimes, and each one his offense is even greater, one after the next. He offends Brihaspati, he loses his kingdom. He goes to Brahma and apologizes. Brahma chastises him, don't be proud, don't be proud, don't be proud. Of course, he's only talking about Indra. He's not talking about me. I'm not proud at all. It's just that everyone else is wrong all the time. But I'm never proud about anything. My thoughts are never incorrect. But everyone else should actually learn, have some things to tell everyone. So there may be some instructions for everyone, at least for me. So when we read the Bhagavatam or we're in Vrindavan, I find it's always a very embarrassing experience with Prabhupada's purports. Of course, we like the sweetness, but Prabhupada is so confronting. This is what, you say you're a devotee? Well, this is what pure devotional service means. And it's so powerful because he acted on that level, fearless and faithful. And realize that his words have so much potency. So please read this in the mood of, here are instructions for me, not for the rest of the world only. Yes, for the rest of the world, but primarily for me. So Indra offended Brihaspati, goes to Brahma, and then after going to Brahma, Brahma directs him to Vishwarupa to help him. Vishrupa, he gives Brahma one warning. You know what that warning was? If you want Vishrupa's help, you have to be tolerant. If you want to progress, you have to be tolerant, because he's going to be, he has some affection for the Asuras, because he's half, his father was Twasta, his mother was from the other side, the Diti side. So he's going, he has some affection, and he's going to give something to the Asuras too. So Indra took the Kavacha from him, and that gave him the strength ultimately to defeat Vritrasura. But later, when Indra saw Prabhupada, come. Prabhupada, yeah. Yeah. It's okay. Tika, koi baat nahi. But maybe he's a she, I don't know. Bye bye. Bye bye. So he took this kavacha from him, and then he he became angry in a moment of anger. Of course, I never become angry, but because he's a demon and I'm a devotee. F. But so and then Indra killed him. I mean, Indra's the devotee and the other one was half. He killed him, he cut off his heads. More problems he got from his fault, even though he was a devotee, because his devotion was mixed. And Srila Jiva Goswami explains, mixed devotion, Misra Bhakti, will not give us sadhya, prema bhakti, kriti bhava bhavets, sa sadhanadavi nitya siddhasya bhavasya prakatnam vidhi sadhyate. Mixed devotion will not give us the sadhya of prema bhakti. It has to be anyabhilasita sunyam. So the pastime continues. Twasta is angry. The father creates Vritrasura from a sacrifice who's so powerful. He's so powerful. He's destroying the armies of the devatas. So powerful. He's completely destroying them. And then, as it turns out, Indra confronts him with his Narayan Kavacha, and he's so frightened, he won't use his Vajra, which was meant the bones of the Dichi. Everyone knows this. He won't use it. He's so frightened. So Vritrasura, step by step by step, he's trying, he insults Indra. And then he encourages him to use the Vajra because he wants to die. This is a demon, Vritrasura, who's fighting the devatas. He wants to die, and then at the end, Indra's still too frightened to use the Vajra. What if, because he threw his club at him, and he just took the club, Vritrasura took the club and threw it back and almost killed his elephant, Aravata. So he says, what happens if I throw the Vajra and it doesn't work? And he just throws it at me. Our acharyas have explained Indra's fear like this. And Vritrasura had to reassure him. No, don't worry. It's empowered by Lord Narayan. It's going to be effective. Use it, use it, use it. And he still won't throw it. So then Vritrasura, in three or four famous, very, very important prayers, he opens up his heart. He realizes that I've tried to do this in three different ways, and he still won't throw it. So what does he do? He prays to his worshipable deity. Aham haritava badaika mulam. Please, please take me. What can I do? I long for the situation that I have lost. Service to the Lord's devotee. Service to the Lord. He's so eager. He's so eager for that. He doesn't want anything of this world. He says in prayers, what's the beginning of that prayer, the second one? Aham haritava padaika mulam dasana. Nanaka preshtam nacha parameshtam na yogasyam. So he said, morally, just like what Mahaprabhu was saying, nadanam najanam na sundarim. I don't want anything of this world. I just want your service. And then he, three levels of eagerness and purity. And then finally, again, mama tamas loka janit. Wherever I go, all I want is your service. I don't want anything. I don't want any. Praying with full heartedness. To have the Lord's service again, but he's in a demon's body, and then after this he realizes the only thing that he can do to get Indra to use his Vajra is attack him. So he attacks him ferociously, saying, you have to kill me, otherwise I'm going to kill you and all the devatas. And Indra does do that. But then, in the next chapter, Maharaj Prickett asks, how is it possible that this demon is such a great devotee? And that will lead, and there's another chapter where it describes how Indra, because Indra's killed, now he's killed, he, not only has he offended Indra, Brihaspati, and killed Vishwarupa, but now he's killed a great devotee, Vishwarupa. So it's, and this is the worst one, considered the worst one, because he was conscious of what he was doing with Vishwarupa. It was angry, just a moment lost. But this, he consciously had to kill him, and he had to suffer that, even though it was the Lord's desire. He had to suffer. Very interesting how it all works, and the things that we have to learn from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the pastimes of the Bhagavatam. There was one time I remember that Prabhupada had said, the devotees in the early days, we didn't know anything. Not that maybe we know so much more, but he said, what happened if in the Bhagavad Gita it says that if someone is atatyahu, an aggressor, you can kill them. So someone asked Prabhupada, if a mosquito is there, can you kill a mosquito? And so Prabhupada said, no. And he said, if it's biting you, can you kill it? And he said, yes. Will there be a reaction if you kill him when he's biting you? And Prabhupada said, yes. So there was a reaction for Indra, a very heavy reaction in Mansarova. But then the question is asked, how is it possible that this demon, Vitrasura, was a great devotee? So then the story of Chitrakirti, because why? Does anyone know why the question is asked? What's the mood of the question? Does anyone know? Yes. But there was one, but that's the negative. He can't be a devotee. But there was no, in his life, there was no chance for him to have the thing that gives devotion. And what is that? Association with devotees. We haven't seen him associate with devotees, so how could he become a devotee? How could this have happened? So then it goes back to his previous life as Chitraketu Maharaj. And Chitraketu wanted a son, and then Angira gave him mercy, and Narada gave him mercy, and the dead son, Narada spoke through the dead son, or the dead son came back to life, and he told him Atmagyan, which is up to the 16th chapter of the sixth canto, and in that 16th chapter has so much philosophy in it. It's so thick with philosophy in four different parts. First is Tattvagyan, Atmagyan. Then Narada gives Chitraketu a mantra. So there's a description of the mantra, which is glorification of Lord Anantadev, glorification of God. And that's going to completely purify him quickly because he's glorifying Krishna. Glorifying Krishna purifies him within how many days? 1 week or something like that? And he has actually direct darshan after just by glorifying Krishna. And how long have I been chanting? Of course, now we have direct darshan. But so many instructions, so many valuable instructions. And then the next section, Chitraketu sees Lord Anantadesha, and he prays to him and he explains the condition of jiva souls, if I remember correctly, of the super soul, of conditioned souls, like that. And then the Lord speaks. So four sections, he replies and repeats basically in more detail the same thing that Chitraketu had spoken, that he had realized, just repeating it, confirming it. And then the 17th chapter comes, where is an amazing, amazing chapter when Chitraketu gets an intermediate result. So he's riding around in his aeroplane, and he's a pure devotee, but he's riding around with ladies, glorifying the Lord, and he criticizes Lord Shiva's action, not really criticizing with enmity. So then there's this incredible exchange that takes place that's so important. And I'll just give you one hint of something that I saw in one of Prabhupada's purports, that because it explains, because you've just all heard this, so you all know all these things, but Chitraketu says, I didn't do anything wrong, which is generally not the best way to begin an apology. Although I didn't do anything wrong, I'm sorry anyway. Who's going to forgive you? And then from this side it's spoken about, and from this side he did wrong, he didn't do wrong, he did wrong, he didn't do wrong. But finally, he apologizes because even though he didn't mean any harm, and what he said was his surprise and astonishment was true, but he had upset Parvati, a great soul. When I read that, I thought that how many times have I done that? You know, I have, in my mind, I've done it just right, but I've upset so many people. Devotees. So he thought that that was a reason enough. That sometimes devotees say, unknowingly, I've committed offense, please forgive me. But if it's sincerely meant like that, if I've disturbed a devotee, maybe I should apologize to them as Chitraketu did to Parvati. So anyway, that goes on, and then in the final, and then it ends, and then Chitraketu's pastime ends. And it explaining, and it's so amazing what happens, and one of the purports, Prabhupada says that he was, that Chitraketu had the fault of pride, that he was a direct associate of Anantadeva. He was a direct associate of Anantadeva, and yet he had some pride about it. And it started, the pastime began with Indra's pride. And what did he have to become because of that? He had to become Chitraketu, Vichasura, who was begging, who had to beg. So beggars can't be proud. Or beggars, of course, in Kali Yuga, everything is possible. But anyway, that would be nice to just move into the 15th chapter of the, the 15th chapter of the 10th canto about the boys, the cowherd boys, when they went to beg in Bhatral, that's not far from here. We're so fortunate to be in Vrindavan because Bhatral and the dust of Braja is right here, so close, it's here. And they came back after they were insulted, and Krishna said, no, when you're begging, you have to be ready to get insulted. You have to go on. That way one loses one's pride. And Prabhupada, when he came on the Jaladuta, he signed it, you insignificant beggar. And that, of course, is the mood, the proper mood to chant in. And the precursor, before you can be a beggar, you have to be humble. And before you have to be before you can be humble, you have to be humiliated. And if you want to be, sometimes devotees ask, how can I become humble? And my answer is always the same. Just be patient. Don't worry. Just be patient. Just read Prabhupada's books. His standard was on that level, that it's humbling. So, more mixed devotional service. And then in the final two chapters that we just completed, our Ditti is very angry, going back earlier to the, and this is again the power of devotional service. So she wants a sacrifice that will kill Indra, something to do that will kill Indra, and her husband, whose name is Kasyapa Muni, gives her a Vishnu sacrifice that he knows will purify her again, Bhagavad Dharma. But she does it with completely wrong motives. She's performing devotional service to kill Indra. And Indra says, this is very dangerous, and he comes and serves her, waiting for her to make a mistake. So her motives are terrible. His motives of serving one who is trying, who is serving Vishnu, who is serving the Lord, his motives are terrible. But devotional service is so wonderful and purifying that it has a happy ending. And everyone is benefited due to service. Such instructions for us about the power of bhakti. But now in the seventh canto, which we'll actually get to read the introduction. Now in the seventh canto, we'll see Prahlad Maharaj, who performs pure devotional service and acts as a pure devotee, fully dependent on the Supreme Lord. He's completely dependent. Mahaprabhu would read about Prahlad or hear about Prahlad Maharaj hundreds of times, and Dhruva Maharaj. Hundreds of times, it explains in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Hundreds of times. And he would cry. Why? That's something to think about. He would read about Dhruva Maharaj and cry. Why? Now this first introduction by Srila Prabhupada. In this chapter, in response to a question by Maharaj Prickett, Sukadeva Goswami gives his conclusions concerning how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although the Supersoul friend and protector of everyone, killed the daityas, the demons, for the sake of Indra, the king of heaven. In his statements, he totally refutes the argument of people in general who accuse the Supreme Lord of partiality. So he takes the sides of the demigods, but he doesn't. He's not partial, because that's considered childish. That's like if two children are fighting with each other, as two children do. If the adult says, this one is right and this one is wrong completely, they're just children. They're both children. So the Lord is not partial. Sukadeva Goswami proves that because he's going to explain the cause of partiality, friends and enemies, and Prahlad will speak directly about this as well. Sukadeva Goswami proves that because the body of the conditioned soul is infected by the... If I read this, I'm going to read it so fast and no one's going to hear anything. So why don't we leave this for tomorrow? Is that all right? This will be too fast and everyone's already so patiently listened for so long. But there are two points that Prabhupada makes in the purport, in his introduction. One is this point about the Lord is impartial. He benefits everyone, even if it appears to be partial. And the second point is the question that Yudhisthira Maharaj will ask about how did Sisupal, who is a demon, Yudhisthira Maharaj saw the soul come out of Sisupal and go into the body of the Lord. So this is going to inspire Maharaj Sukadeva Goswami to speak about Hiranyakashipu, and he's already spoken in the third canto about Jai and Vijay. But this first chapter is very, very important. It's going to explain bhakti on two different levels, the level of Ragmarg and the level of Vaidhi. So very, very important. And Srila Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha quotes from this chapter to explain Ragmarg about absorption, how important it is to become absorbed in Krishna, in thoughts of Krishna. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Any questions? Yes, Paul. Yes, yes, yes. Of course, that's described.
It can be both ways. Like, a devotee serving in opulence also can be a Ragmarg devotee, or
Anyway, this is, we just mentioned one sentence on that.
Sri Gopal.
Hare Krishna. No. Vaidhi brings one to Vaikuntha. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes this. But for a devotee, as Srila Jiva Goswami describes, as follower of Mahaprabhu, as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur taught, as Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur taught, and as Srila Prabhupada taught, that the Vaidhi in the line of Mahaprabhu supports Rag. Because if we try to be spontaneous without being very fixed, we will just end up in trouble. Any other questions on what we spoke about? But you'll have to say it loudly because... Okay.
We hear so much and we read Prabhupada books also, but how we can become genuinely introspective? You know, we are acting according to our modes. So sometimes we are proud, but we don't accept ourselves for the mistakes. So how to become genuinely introspective? That we
read, and say, think in terms of this. Instruction is Prabhupada giving me instructions, and then think about what you're reading, and then humility will come. At least that's the process. You read, associate with advanced devotees and hear their words, and then just think of who am I, and then we become humble. Don't think that the preaching is meant for others. Don't think the books are meant for others. They're meant for me. That's how to become introspective. And read, just pick up anywhere practically. Read systematically, but anywhere. Anywhere you'll get instructions. A Brahmin should become the priest of a person interested in the advancement of spiritual culture. So I have to think, who am I serving? What is my motive? Who am I serving? Anyway, there's always instructions. So there's so many instructions, all meant for me. I even heard Prabhupada criticize the devotees on this one point. He said, my only criticism of the devotees is they think the books are for distribution, not for reading. And then he actually imitated someone handing a book. And then then he imitated the person responding, what's the book about? And then Prabhupada imitated the book distributor saying, I don't know, it's for you. And then he said, it's not an export business. Export business... You buy something, but just to pass it on at a profit. So the real profit is taking it. This is Prabhupada's gift. Hare Krishna. Another way I could have answered that question, how do you become introspective, is you should ask someone else, please. Yes. Please speak into the microphone.
You mentioned that of course the nature of Bhagavad Gita does this, is we must get able to rise above the modes, then things will become more clear. So that's why we're doing our sadhana, so we can get above those modes.
Please speak more. Preach. I covered them so no one could see them, unfortunately. Okay, last question from Radhakant.
Prabhupada,
You mentioned about like, so Govind Bhai went repeatedly is committing mistakes and he's performing devotional service also, but how he's not getting purified again? Then again he commits a mistake, then he repents and performs devotional service, then again he commits. So, difficult to understand how is it.
You mean who?
Indra.
Oh, Indra. Yeah. I thought you were talking about me. For me, it's easy to understand. Because of false ego, and what's born from false ego is ahankara, is vamuda, kart aham. Soon as we have false ego, we have enjoying spirit. Soon as we have enjoying spirit, everything comes around that, and everything we do will be a mistake, in one sense. But the other way to look at it is, Indra is a great devotee, and Krishna is using him for his own purposes for teaching. But funny that I ask myself the same question. Janiya shunya bishakainu. What to do? Just continue praying, becoming humble, chanting. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Sisi Gaunataya ki jai, Sisi Krishna Balarama ki jai, Sisi Radha Sarma Sandalalita Vishakadevi ki jai, Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivinoda ki jai.